Come, Lord, refresh, restore, renew us. Gather us all, beloved sinners, to eat with you. Welcome us home, lost and now found, joyful together in you. Come, Lord, refresh, restore, renew us. Please be seated. Well, there is nothing like picking a lunch table when you are new at school. The scene exists in many a high school movie. The narrator or protagonist walks through a lunchroom and surveys the options for a place to sit. Different groups are pointed out, sometimes by a helpful guide or friend, students slotted into their respective communities and cliques. Jocks, brains, band geeks, the drama kids, the popular kids, and the social outcasts. Everyone seems to have a place, even if it's in the bathroom, the library, or the teacher's lounge all alone. And no one seems interested in upsetting the status quo. This is who we are, the narrative says. This is where we sit. So pick your spot wisely if you're given the option. People, of course, don't only fit into singular categories. We are multifaceted, existing beyond the labels that society places on us, that we place on ourselves and on one another. And as you know, if you've seen one of these high school movies, transgressing the cafeteria boundaries is often the moral of the story. We are not so different after all, if only we allow ourselves to perceive it. Or rather, our differences are real, but they do not have to separate us. We can celebrate them and value them for the gifts they are. Sometimes, though, it takes a shock to our collective systems to remember that. A little lunchroom transgression to shake us awake. We have to be refreshed, given a new perspective, restored and invited to be our full selves, and renewed, opened up to new growth, so that we can wake up and celebrate the life we share. I've been thinking about today's gospel in the context of this cafeteria scene. Jesus, the new student, arrives at lunch. He's already made a splash during the day, saying some smart but outlandish things that excite some and shock others. As he enters the lunchroom, he's immediately clocked by the popular kids, who have social dominance among their peers. They dictate what's cool and what's not. They organize the parties and the dances, hold elected positions, and are able to include or exclude whoever they wish. These are our Pharisees and our scribes, the religious leaders of Jesus's time. They're not necessarily bad people. The religious leaders were upstanding citizens in their communities, committed to living a righteous and godly life. They got good SAT scores, volunteered at the animal shelter, and perhaps even followed most of the school rules, and certainly enforced them for everybody else. But they also wielded power, using it to maintain their status and the tenuous system of Jewish existence under Roman occupation. And for the sake of our metaphor between first and 21st centuries, let's have the teachers and the administrators play the Roman occupiers. But back to the story. The popular kids watch Jesus ignore their table and head over to a more sparsely populated area of the cafeteria. He's followed by a group of some of the least savory characters at the school. Kids who fall asleep in class, who get suspended for fighting, whose grades aren't at the top of the curve, who don't have the cool clothes or shoes, who never know the right thing to say at the right time, who have their lunch money stolen, and who may be some of the bullies doing that stealing. the kids who just don't fit in. Jesus doesn't seem to realize the social capital he's losing by being seen with this group. There's no way he could know it and ignore it. But there are some kids from other, more palatable cliques in the mix, which gives our popular table some pause, making them worry that they're missing something. What about this guy is so special? And so grumbling comes from within the table. I can't believe he's hanging out with them. I can't believe he's eating with them. Or in the language of our gospel, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, if we were to play out this scene into a full movie, in the following 90 minutes, we'd learn all about the brokenness and flaws of the popular kids and the beauty, strength, and grace of the outcasts. Friendships would be formed, challenging the status quo. Betrayal and repentance and forgiveness would ensue. Everyone would grow and maybe even be healed through the deepening of new relationships. We would learn the ways that they are all lost, all looking to be found, all looking for a new way to live. Then, in the closing scene, as a new day dawns, we would take another walk through that same cafeteria, looking at tables filled with a miraculous mixture of all different kinds of people, squished in next to each other, laughing and picking French fries off of one another's plates. We have all been lost sheep, after all. We have all been the lost coin. Stiff-necked like the Israelites, we have all at some time worshiped the false gods of power and safety, attempting to stave off the scarier uncertainties of life. Tired of wandering in the desert. Regardless of what table we may have sat down at, we have all been lost before, desperate to be found. Some of us may feel lost now, but the miracle of Jesus' indiscriminate love is that he goes out seeking all of us every day and calls us to rejoice with him again and again, whenever anyone is found. A quick caveat before I leave my high school movie metaphor behind. There is a darkness in reducing people to a single story, especially when it is one we tell about them. We dehumanize one another when there is only one narrative at play, and people who are full of shimmering life become objects, inanimate and incapable of change. The tropes may be helpful to capture attention, and they are very handy storytelling tools, but they ultimately break down. No matter where we're sitting, we are all in need of God's grace and love that is made present in Jesus. We have all been lost, and we all need to be found. And we are all in need of the renewal, the refreshment, and the restoration that the incarnate love that Jesus embodies. This is part of being found, to be gathered up from the wilderness of a desert or a lunchroom and restored to full life in the great, big, mixed up, chaotic, generous body of Christ. So I leave you with a few questions. What kind of renewal do you need? What kind of refreshment? What kind of restoration? Is it to explore a new ministry here at Redeemer? To get to know people at a different table? Do that today. Sign up to serve as an usher or a reader, to join the altar guild. Come to youth group next Sunday. Attend Turnaround Tuesday for the first time, and then go again, and again, and again. Participate in a build action and meet other members of our city community. Let your life be changed by something completely new. And perhaps that completely new thing is to arrive here and be fed, to receive the love and the support that this community has to offer. We are all in need of refreshment. Perhaps this is a place where you can receive some. Join us for church on Saturdays or Sundays. Come for a weekday Eucharist. Slip into Evensong or Compline on a Sunday evening. Let the Spirit feed you, and then bring a friend who you think might need to be fed too. The restoration we seek does not happen on its own. We are all together responsible for it, for creating it, for delighting in it. Our work together within us as a parish and as we look out beyond our walls does not happen without all of us together. So join the cause. Commit to making this a flock that embodies the beautiful transgressions that Jesus invites us to, rejoicing at each new member found. Come, Lord, refresh, restore, renew us. Beloved sinners, gather us all to eat with you. Welcome us home, lost and now found, joyful in you. Come, Lord, refresh, restore, renew us. Amen.